We're going to look this morning at Esther, chapter 8 and 9. And I've given this talk the title, A Message of Hope. A Message of Hope. Chapter 7 records the change of fortune for Haman. From a man who enjoyed the king's favour to a man who was hanged on the orders of the king. On the other hand, in chapter 8, we find Mordecai, the intended victim for the gallows that Haman had made, being introduced to the king as a relative of Queen Esther. And enjoying all the privileges of being the Grand Vizier to the king. In addition, the king gave Queen Esther Haman's estate. And she in turn gave Mordecai the responsibility of looking after it for her. And no doubt, Mordecai enjoyed all the privileges that a Prime Minister has at Chequers. A few days earlier, things had looked bleak for Esther, and even more so for Mordecai. But God, who is over all, had changed all that. In our daily Bible reading on Thursday morning, Janet and I were reading from Jeremiah 32. Verse 17 has those familiar words. Ah, Lord God! Exclamation mark. Behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arms. There is nothing too hard for you. The Lord transformed the situation of Esther and Mordecai from one of hopelessness and despair to one of hope and rejoicing. He rescued them and he revived their fortunes. And dear friends, although we're just a small company of people here this morning, that is the God we worship. And that is the God we serve. Now I must confess that at one point during the past week, I felt a little downcast. Not like me really. Because I'm usually quite a positive person. On that occasion, I gave in to self-pity. Have you ever done that? I should have known better. Because he is the Lord who made the heavens and the earth by his great power and his outstretched arm, and nothing is too difficult for him. And he has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Psalm 42 and verse 11 is always a good rebuke on such an occasion. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquietened within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. When things are difficult, when things are disappointing, when we wonder what is going on in the world around, remember Esther. Remember the God of Esther. Remember the God of Mordecai, the God who rescued his people, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And remember if you are trusting Him as your Savior God, and believe with all your heart that Jesus died for you, that you might be reconciled to God, understand that no one will ever pluck you out of his hands. And His plans for you are plans for good and not for evil. However, although Esther and Mordecai and the Jews had seen God's gracious intervention and a reversal of their fortunes, there was much to do. And so my second point is redressing the law. My first point, I didn't announce it, was a reversal of fortunes. Now, redressing the law. We find in chapter 1 of Esther and verse 19 that the laws of the Persians and the Medes cannot be altered. Sometimes that placed the king in a difficult position. King Darius, for instance, was deeply distressed to find that he'd been tricked into signing a decree that led to Daniel being thrown into the lion's den. And there may also be a hint in Esther chapter 9 that King Ahasuerus, also known as King Xerxes, regretted banishing Vashti from his presence. In chapter 1, having had too much to drink, the king decided to impress his guests with the beauty of his Queen Vashti. But Queen Vashti refused. The king was furious and accepted the proposal that a royal decree be signed and sealed, banishing Queen Vashti from ever seeing the king again and her royal position be given to another. However much he would have liked to have changed that law, he could not. It was irreversible. It had become a law of the Medes and Persians and could not be altered. In chapter 3, another decree had gone out in his name, stating that on the 13th day of the month of Adar, all Jews, whether young or old, male or female, or little children, should be put to death and their possessions plundered. It was an outrageous decree, but it was on the statute books and could not be revoked. So what could be done? A new decree could be sent out to redress the balance and deal with the wickedness expressed in the decree that Haman had sent out. And so in verse 8, the king gave permission for Esther and Mordecai to issue a decree in the king's name and to seal it with the king's ring so that it was too irrevocable. A writing team was summoned of the king's scribes. The message was clear in chapter 8 and verses 11 and 12. By these letters, the king permitted the Jews who were in every city to gather together and protect their lives, to destroy, kill, and annihilate all the forces of any people or province that would assault them, both little children and women, and to plunder their possessions on one day in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus on the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar. And which is, of course, the month when Haman had agreed to annihilate the Jews. A way had been found to bring relief to these beleaguered people of God. Now, although I would have difficulty in attempting to use this story as a type of Christ and using that in the technical theological way, I would have difficulty using it as a type of Christ. In other words, using this story or this incident as something that was written to point forward to him. I do believe it helpfully illustrates some of the issues addressed in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Like these Jews, we were all faced with an irreversible decree. Not a corrupt decree like that of Ahasuerus, but the perfect law of God. The Bible shows that we have all sinned and are justly condemned by God's law. So how can we be rescued? By God himself redressing the law with another law, by which the Lord Jesus Christ, acting as our substitute, accepted the punishment that we deserved, accepted the curse or condemnation of the law on our behalf, so that if we confess our sin and receive him as our Savior and Lord, we are set free. And there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. What a relief for us, beleaguered people of God. And this great escape is available still today. To my mind, this story also illustrates the fact that this great escape was achieved through the work of a royal mediator. Had it not have been for the intervention of Queen Esther, there would have been no way out for the Jews of Babylon. And had it not have been for the intervention of the Son of God, who sits at the right hand of the throne of God, there would have been no way out for us. He is the one mediator between God and man. At this point I thought of an old hymn that said, "How helpless and hopeless we sinners had been if he never had loved us till cleansed from our sin. Unto him who has loved us and washed us from sin, unto him be the glory forever. Amen." And I saw yet another illustration here. The new decree was great, but it was no use unless people knew about it. And so letters were written to each of the provinces, using their own language and script. And with a great sense of urgency, dispatch riders were sent off in all directions to deliver this good news. And so it is with the gospel of the Lord Jesus. The Great Commission is set out for us so clearly in Matthew's gospel, Chapter 28 and verses 19 and 20. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Go, take the message into all the world. And praise God today for those who are sharing the gospel. Pray for those who are learning languages and translating the scriptures so that this great news of the gospel can be shared with people of all nations. We praise God too for the ways in which throughout history, beleaguered Christians have been rescued in their everyday life. In the New Testament, we see Peter being rescued out of prison by God's wonderful grace. Paul too talks about the amazing ways in which the Lord has rescued him in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 10 and 11. He writes, "But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured. And out of them all, the Lord delivered me. The journals of John Wesley relate some amazing ways in which the Lord rescued him. And today, this still goes on. You only have to read the Barnabas News to see how God is rescuing people and helping people. But for the people of God, the greatest deliverance is in the words of Colossians 1, 13 and 14. Being delivered from the power of darkness and being brought into the kingdom of the Son he loves. And so how did the Jews react when they received this message? What was their response? In 9:1 we read that on that day, the enemies of the Jews had hoped to overpower them, but the opposite occurred, in that the Jews overpowered those who hated them. The battle was fierce and many lives were lost. Haman, who because of his desire for trivial revenge had begun an unjust war, not only lost his life, but his sons died as well. And chapter 9 highlights the amazing restraint that the Jews showed at this time. They could have accepted all the plunder, but in chapter 9 and verse 16 we read, but they did not lay a hand on the plunder. The decree that had a time limit on the 14th day of Adar ended, and they celebrated their great deliverance. And there was a time of rejoicing. And in chapter 9 and verses 18 to 19, we see that the Jews in different parts of the nations began celebrating in different ways. So Mordecai decided to regularize the celebrations. He wrote a letter to the Jews to establish an annual celebration on the 14th and 15th day of Adar, as the days on which the Jews had rest from their enemies, as a month from which was turned a month which was turned from sorrow to joy for them, and from mourning to holiday, that they should make them days of feasting and joy, sending presents to one another and gifts to the poor. And because Haman had cast a pur, that is a lot, presumably to determine the day of the attack on the Jews, the feast was called Purim. And today, that feast is still celebrated. What Mordecai wrote in his letter still takes place. Today, during the feast, the book of Esther is read. It's very active and very responsive. There are boos when Haman is mentioned. There are cheers when Mordecai is mentioned. There are often parties for the children, with the girls dressing up as Queen Esther and the boys as Mordecai. And it's a time of giving gifts and giving to the poor. Like the Jews of Esther's day, let us rejoice in our deliverance too. Not in the same way. I don't think that would be very appropriate. But at the Lord's Supper, let us remember our Lord Jesus. Let us celebrate his great victory for us. The Lord Jesus, the one mediator between God and man, who was our substitute and saved us from sin and death and hell, and brought us into the family of God forever. And let us rejoice too that he has rescued us from the domain of sin and slavery to sin. Sadly, all too often, we allow ourselves to be trapped by it, but we have been rescued from it. And let us rejoice that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And let us rejoice that he watches over us day and night. Let us rejoice that he is our refuge and our strength in times of difficulty. Let us rejoice that in all things he is working for the good of those who love him. Let us rejoice that he intercedes for us night and day. Let us rejoice that nothing will separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let us rejoice that because of these great truths, he rescues us from countless perils every day that we know nothing about. And let us rejoice that he will never allow us to be tempted beyond what we can bear. Let us rejoice that we can look to him and trust him in every situation and circumstance, day by day. And one day we will be forever with the Lord. And why not celebrate the birthday of Jesus by giving and receiving gifts and giving to the poor, as these people did at Purim? Amen.